That reading from Isaiah paints such a beautiful picture. It reminds me a bit of some paintings of the Garden of Eden, where you have animals all living side by side, whatever predator or other might be in the picture, just as Isaiah describes. But our world at the moment doesn't look at all like this. But Isaiah dreams of a time when the world will see that it was made to live in harmony. Isaiah also describes a little child leading the way. Out of the mouths of babes, we sometimes say. Some of the most vociferous protesters of what is wrong in the world are young people. They can be more direct and tell it how it is. Perhaps we too were more passionate about causes when we were young. And perhaps we had the experience of adults not listening to what we had to say. Certainly, my parents' generation grew up with children should be seen and not heard. They weren't considered to have opinions worth listening to. In 2024, the Children's Commissioner, who was Dame Rachel D'Souza, published a report called The Big Ambition, a compilation of children's views on their lives and aspirations. It was a large-scale consultation of 367,000 children in England aged from 6 to 18. And Dame Rachel said that children are charged with energy and a passion for making changes, but only one in five feels listened to by adults in power. And here we are in Advent, awaiting the birth of a vulnerable baby and the wisdom with which he will lead the world. We're thinking of the gifts each one of us has, whatever our age. Children, our children, our grandchildren, the children who come to this church, have wisdom too and need to be heard. Jesus didn't come to us as a fully formed adult. Our whole faith is wrapped around the arrival of a tiny baby, God's gift to the world. In the Gospel, John came preaching repentance, telling the crowds to turn again, change your direction, change the way you think and act, and turn back to God. Many years ago, I heard a sermon on this very passage, and the preacher gave a visual demonstration. This is God's will here. That's our will over there. Every Sunday in church, and maybe every day at home, we start doing this, and then we confess. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We're sorry. We're really sorry. And we tell God we are really, really sorry. And then we do that. But when we repent, we go our own way, then we realise really what we've done. We repent. We do that. That's what the Greek word means, metanoia, is turn again, and we go back God's way. I find that the easiest demonstration of the difference between confession and repentance. So when we pray a confession in church, what we need to do is repent as well as say the words. People flocked to John from Jerusalem and all the Judean countryside, listened to him, confessed their sins, and were baptized. They knew what they had done wrong, and they turned again. But on the sidelines looking on were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, People with privilege and religious and social power who misused their positions of authority, whose words were either empty or damaging. John calls them a brood of vipers. Did you notice we had vipers in the Isaiah reading? A little child would put his whole hand in the viper's nest. And here we have John calling Pharisees and Sadducees vipers. Undoubtedly, there were some good devout men among their number. But over the centuries, money and power had made the majority of them corrupt, legalistic, and hypocritical. The viper was considered to be an evil creature with deadly venom. And in Matthew 23, Jesus himself calls the Pharisees and teachers of the law a brood of vipers, hypocrites, blind guides, blind fools, and whitewashed tombs. Doesn't leave much to the imagination. They enjoyed their status for their own gratification, not leading and guiding the people towards God, but putting obstacles in their way and pretending to be what they were not. They were religious, but on the surface, pretending, relying on their belief that they were God's chosen special ones who would always be favored. Not so, said John, unless your words and your deeds match up and are genuine, ring true from a God-orientated heart, judgment is coming and you are not immune. John talks of Jesus coming with a winnowing fork in his hand. That's not a familiar farming tool for us anymore. But grain has to be threshed. Now we do it with machines. It has to be winnowed in order for it to be useful as food. In John's time, that meant beating the wheat by hand when it was harvested, tossing it up in the air so that the wind carried off the lightweight, unwanted, worthless husks, the chaff, leaving behind only what was nutritious and wholesome. The metaphor is really strong, implying that the wicked are like chaff, really of no use, no consequence. The intended fruit of their lives was conspicuous by its absence. It's a sobering message. We are not favored by God because we go to church or put money in the offertory or sit on a committee. What God sees is our heart. And if our Christian life is for Sundays only, or just to advertise ourselves, something needs to change. We too need to turn again, come out of the murky shadows of ego-driven behavior, and face the light, be called to account by the one who gave his life for us, to be the fruit, the tasty fruit of the vine. Advent is a time to consider what in our daily lives, in our goals and aspirations, in our plans for next year, in our attitudes, in our behaviours, what needs shaking up and clearing out and blowing away? What could the holy wind of God be aiming at? What is worthless, empty and transient? What hidden prejudice, obsession, distraction, obstruction in our lives needs stripping back in order to leave what is wholesome and life-giving? What words on our lips have no place in the kingdom? What prevents the fruit of our lives being a gift to others? A little baby arrives without a carapace, no shell, no screen, no hard covering to hide behind. What you see and hear with a baby is unmistakable and genuine. Jesus said to his disciples that they must become as little children in order to see the kingdom of God. No guile, no pretense, wide-eyed, open-hearted, and sincere. From that orientation comes the fruit that is a gift to others, the compassion, kindness, integrity, faithfulness, loyalty, justice, joy, hope, love, and the desire that all people will come to know and love God, who is our source, our guide, and our goal. How wonderful if all our churches were perceived to be gifts to each community because of the genuine qualities demonstrated by each of us. Perhaps a simple prayer for us this week could be, God, help me be a gift to others. Amen.